From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been 4 days since workers at John Deere went on strike. Deere and Company, based in Moline, is one of Illinois' largest businesses, but the strike is national in scope. It includes 10,000 people from the UAW. That's the United Automobile, Aerospace, and Agricultural Implement Workers of America. They began striking last Thursday after having previously rejected a 5-6% raise. They also want better health benefits. The strike affects 14 Deere facilities across the country, including 4 in Illinois and 7 in Iowa. It comes during a time of projected record profits for John Deere. And the strike is also part of a broader trend around America. Since August 1st, almost 40 workplaces have seen strikes, nearly double the number at this time last year. Notably, Nabisco workers in 5 states, including Illinois, were out for weeks in September before reaching a new contract. Kellogg workers in 5 states are entering their second week of strikes. And a union representing workers at healthcare company Kaiser have authorized workers to walk out in California and Oregon. Some experts are saying that for the first time in a long time, labor has the upper hand. And as Bloomberg News put it, this month could be Striketober. Joining us now from the Quad Cities are two journalists who have been covering the Deere strike. Herb Trix is news director at 21st member station WVIK in the Quad Cities. Herb, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. And also with us is Kara Smith, business reporter for the Quad City Times. Kara, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, our lines are open at 800-222-9455. If you're in the Quad Cities, if you're striking at any of the Deere plants there or elsewhere in Illinois, we'd especially like to hear from you. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Kara, I'm going to begin with you. You've been covering this story for the Quad City Times. What is the latest on this showdown between the UAW and John Deere?
Yeah, so the latest is, you know, pretty much what you described. They are on strike still. I actually went to 3 of the sites this morning just to talk to people. You know, the moods are good over there. They're all really enjoying each other's company, and it helps that the community is really stepping out to support them. And that was really evident this weekend. There are just piles of food and rain ponchos and other items to support the workers. And those came from other local unions as well as just general community members.
So I mentioned a moment ago that this strike comes at a time of record profits for Deere. What exactly are the workers asking for, Kara?
So the workers are asking for higher wage increases. Right now, they're not satisfied with the 5-6%. You know, there hasn't been a specific number set, but they do want more than that. They're also trying to get rid of the tiered retirement system. So in 97, they said that people who are hired after that contract have even more limited retirement benefits and health care when they retire. So in this contract, they tried to create even a third tier with people that would have been hired after the proposed contract was put in place. They would only have a 401k. They would not have a pension. So they want to get rid of that tiered system. They want people to, all employees, have pensions and health care. And then also, I mean, I've talked to some workers about this, is supplemental workers. They pay union dues, but they don't necessarily qualify for all of the benefits that full union members have. So some workers want to see supplemental workers, you know, kind of gain some more, you know, rights that full employees have.
So, Herb Trix, what has John Deere been saying throughout this strike and this negotiating process?
Well, Deere has been saying pretty much what you would expect without getting into specifics. They say that the wages for the Deere workers are already the best in the agriculture and construction industries. And with the increases that Kara mentioned, that they would be even better than they are now. Highest paid workers now are somewhere around $31 an hour. And the higher wage would push that up to, you know, several thousand dollars extra a year. And that's pretty much what the company is saying, you know, that we're operating the plants as best we can, trying to keep up with the customer demands for parts and things like that. And other than that, we're willing to talk at any time, which is pretty much the standard stuff that people always say in situations like this.
Sure. Well, and that you actually began, you verged into my next question, which is what is Deere doing at these plants in and around, well, particularly the Quad Cities where you are? I mean, has the strike hasn't shut them down, or is it fully operational, where, or somewhere in between?
My guess would be it's somewhere in between. I mean, as I said before, they're not saying anything. Many of the white-collar workers have been sent out to especially the parts distribution center in Milan, but other places as well, trying to keep up at least somewhat of the past production. I wouldn't imagine it's anything anywhere near what it is usually. And as I said, I think this being harvest time, that their main focus is at the parts depot and other parts depots around the country.
Getting repair parts to farmers that
right.
might need them for their implements. Okay. So, Herb, you've been at WVIK in the Quad Cities since 1987, if I have that right? So the last
right.
Deere strike
before
was...
that, I was at one of the commercial stations starting in 1984. So
okay,
I was here for the 1986 strike.
Yeah, well, and that great. So I'm wondering if you can put this strike into a historical context for us. How long did that one go? What was that like then?
Well, that one lasted for about 5 months, or if you want to be technical, 163 days. It went from August to the following January. And this was it was a very scary time here in the Quad Cities and elsewhere. That was the farm crisis of the 80s. And for those of us that were around then, many plants were closing. International Harvester basically disappeared. Case closed a big plant here in the Quad Cities. Caterpillar closed a plant here. And there were something like 15,000 direct jobs that disappeared, along with all the sort of indirect jobs that would go with all of those direct jobs. And I imagine it was a very scary time for the companies as well, not knowing if they would survive or not. Deere fortunately did survive, and somehow after 5 months of strike, they agreed to sit down. But as I said, 1986 was a kind of a frightening time here with plants closing and people leaving. And, you know, you've heard that phrase before, well, the last one to leave the Quad Cities, turn out the lights. That was a bumper sticker back then.
And you mentioned, or we heard, I should say, Kara mentioned how supportive some members of the community have been of the current strikers. What was the mood like back then?
Well, the mood was in some ways the same, trying to help out. But a lot of people were in a very, very bad way here. Not just the worker, not just the Deere workers, but a lot of other people. It was, wages were, for people that had jobs, it was still a very frightening time. So there was support as much as people could do because there's a very strong union presence here and always has been. But, for 5 months, that's a long time. When you're worried about your own job and livelihood, after 5 months, how much free food can you give away?
Yeah, sure. All right, listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the ongoing strike among workers, UAW workers, at John Deere. Some 10,000 of them have been out since last Thursday. That includes 14 plants around the country. Four of them are here in Illinois. Our guests are Herb Trix, news director at member station WVIK in the Quad Cities, and Kara Smith, business reporter at the Quad City Times. 800-222-9455, especially if you are in a city with a Deere plant, the Quad Cities or elsewhere, or especially if you're striking at one of the plants, 800-222-9455. Kara, you've been speaking with people on the ground who are striking. What are you hearing from them?
I'm hearing that they're, pretty encouraged to strike, and they feel really supported. I think the employees all really rely on each other within their respective plants, and, they all enjoy working together, and this strike has just brought them closer. When you're there, you can feel the excited energy as well as you can just see everyone talking to each other and supporting each other. And I think, they feel really confident when they're standing up for things that they know they deserve.
I wonder if you can put this in the context. We've seen a lot of stories in recent years and in the recent decades, really, about how labor is on its back foot. And we've seen a lot of offshoring or exporting jobs overseas. And do you sense or hear from workers that there's a different attitude, that maybe they're more feeling more empowered now than they have in a long time among these workers who are striking?
Yeah, and I think that's probably for a few different reasons. I think, you know, Deere has had record profits, and there's also been recent federal investment in agricultural technology, and Deere has benefited from that greatly. So they're positioned to make a lot of money this year, but that's not going to happen without employees. And Deere workers are skilled labor, so, you know, you can't just really replace them with just anyone. As well as people feel empowered because of the labor shortage, which I've done some reporting on, about how, you know, it's difficult to find anyone to hire in general. So, you know, having your basically your whole workforce kind of walk out gives them much more leverage when trying to negotiate.
Herb, there's for those of us who might not be as familiar with the Quad Cities, can you just talk a little bit about the importance of John Deere to the Quad Cities, to that part of Illinois and Iowa and even beyond?
Well, it's one of our major employers. There's the world headquarters is here, and then several large plants, a combine plant in East Moline, a cylinder and seating works in Moline, and then there's a big construction equipment plant in Davenport. And then up in Dubuque, there's a major construction equipment plant, and then not all that far in Waterloo, Iowa, where they make a lot of tractors. But here in the Quad Cities, it's a huge presence. There's the John Deere Classic Golf Tournament, the PGA Tournament every summer. There's thousands of people that work for the company in various ways. And then there's all the rest of us that benefit from all of those people working for the company directly. Whether it's the drugstore or the grocery store or me here in public radio, we all benefit. And I think sometimes we lose track of the fact that this is a huge worldwide company. I mean, when their profits are, you know, $1 billion a quarter or more, you have to think about how big that really is. And there's operations in Europe and Africa and China and South America. And it's a huge presence here. And mostly a very good one. I mean, there's contributions from the Deere Foundation to all sorts of worthy causes, not just public radio, of course, but, you know, just all the workers that are here and all the things that they support. So it's a huge presence here.
Now, Kara, sometimes when there are strikes at an automobile plant, there are suppliers that are affected. They have to shut down because maybe they don't have anywhere to send their parts for the time being. Have there been downstream effects or elsewhere in the manufacturing industry around there yet that you're aware of?
None yet that I'm aware of. I definitely think it's coming. In 1986, we saw like mass layoffs, as Herb was saying. But, you know, with a company this large, there are so many companies impacted, not just suppliers to Deere, but, you know, services that Deere would bring in to feed their employees and take care of their employees. So it's just a huge shift for suppliers. Deere's, what they would use to take care of their employees, as well as just local businesses surrounding Deere plants that would typically benefit from workers being there or driving to and from their Deere plants.
I think also, Brian, the many suppliers and people like that have been, and dealerships have been thinking that this was a possibility. So I think they've been stocking up and preparing as much as they could, you know, hoping it wouldn't happen, but wanting to be prepared just in case.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And there certainly was a fair amount of warning about this. Herb, what is next? Negotiations, are they at the table? Do you have a sense of how long this might go on?
We can assume that there's some contacts between people from the union and the company, but nothing in public yet. This is just sort of a strategy here. You want to talk to the other side, but you don't want to seem too eager. You want to talk about some numbers, but, how much more are you going to have to offer after that? If if somebody walks in, if somebody agrees to talk again, you know, what would it get? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, if it's going to be tomorrow or 3 weeks from now, it's hard to say.
And Kara, I wonder if you have anything to add to that. I mean, are you hearing from workers? Are they prepared to go the distance that their predecessors did several decades ago if this goes months and months?
Yes, that's a resounding yes from almost everyone I talk to. You know, like Herb mentioned, how local businesses and suppliers were preparing. Actually, the UAW told their workers to start financially preparing a year and a half ago, just in case of a strike. And that's kind of routine that they do that with all of their, you know, employees that are covered under them before their strike. So many employees who I've talked to have saved to make sure they can ride out a long strike, as well as just, you know, some people's spouses work, so that helps. But they are really willing to, you know, go for another 6 months. They are hoping that deer will come around, but, you know, they are prepared to really sit it out how long it takes.
Kara Smith is business reporter at the Quad City Times. Herb Trix is news director at public radio station WVIK. Herb and Kara, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
You're welcome, Brian.
Of course.
See you later.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking with Illinois woman Joanne Molinaro, who is known to her millions of social media fans as the Korean vegan. That's after a short break. Stay with us.